The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O.R.G. Ochoa. He, as always, is your 75, Mr. 2-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Tony Casillas. Tony, good day to you, my friend.
Hey, happy Tuesday, RJ. How's your week going so far?
You know, my week's going great, if I'm being honest. I enjoy this time of year when it's cooler outside. I like when it gets dark early. I haven't really watched any movies lately, but it's the right time of year to watch a movie, even though I haven't done it. You know what I mean?
Well, considering it's the Christmas holidays, and I started watching, is it 25 Days of Christmas? Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what network that's on, so that's kind of gets you in the holiday spirit. Oh, by the way, make sure you get your Christmas shopping done. Have you got that knocked out? I know you've had a lot of things going on, but I'm just trying to remind you, big fellow, we're running out of time. You and I need to make sure we do our last-minute Christmas shopping before it gets to the real last minute, and I'm talking the day before Christmas. So let's knock it out if we gotta do that.
I agree. You mentioned I've been on the go a little bit. I know you have too, and I'm gonna be honest. People always say this, but I actually kind of did it. I did a lot of online shopping this Christmas season, and it did save a lot of work. I have not been to a mall this Christmas season, so it's kind of cool in that way. But this upcoming weekend will be terrible because it is the last weekend before Christmas, so malls will be absurd. This upcoming weekend's also the final regular season game of the year for the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium. Not the last one, but that's where did the time go? I mean, just
I know. Seems like yesterday we're previewing the upcoming season, and now it's fast forward, two games left, and Cowboys weren't able to clinch last week, so hopefully they'll be able to clinch in front of the home crowd on Sunday and get probably some much-needed rest for some players that need to rest and hopefully gear up for the playoffs.
You mentioned the Cowboys failing to clinch last Sunday in Indianapolis. They went into that game, Tony, with 276 points scored on the season. They left with 276 points scored on the season. A skunking. 23-0. That is I know that, I mean, I'm excited to talk about this, but I really don't feel that badly about it. I know that's I'm surprised at how minimally my perception of them was impacted by losing a football game 23-0.
Yeah, I think we just kind of got seduced at them winning five straight and playing this out of this mind football when you look, especially on the defense, and what Marlon Mack, an Indianapolis Colts running back, was able to do to this defensive front. And I think everyone just thought they would continue the surge. And sometimes you got to get kicked in the privates to kind of take a breath. And definitely the Colts has zapped the energy out of them. I was surprised. I was surprised that they got shut out. And right. I was surprised. It was an ugly football game. There's a lot of penalties. And, again, a lot of missed opportunities on the Cowboys. And that's kind of going back to their football past, where we met when they were 3-5. And you just don't like to see them revert back to that.
No, it's well said. But, you know, what I do think is, for the first time in a long time, they look like a football team, absent of Travis Frederick, absent of a competent left guard, absent of Zach Martin, with an ailing Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. I mean, they look like a team that was missing players, and they hadn't looked like that for, over a month. This is the best possible thing to talk about, I think, with you. You're the perfect person for this, because so much of what I think people are analyzing with the Cowboys is subjective. You know, there is this, oh, it's good to get gut checked, you know, it's good to get kicked in the privates, as you said, but nobody really knows unless they've been there. And so I'm curious for your thoughts as a former player, former Cowboy, as a former athlete, I mean, athlete now, I mean, it's just maybe your take on life. Is this good? I mean, is this something that, you know, you can take that you maybe that you need? I mean, what are just what, you know, because there's a lot of ways to look at it. People saying that, and there's also people saying, no, I want them to keep looking great, et cetera, blah, blah. What, I mean, what do you think?
Well, this isn't the 18-year-old boy asking a girl out and gets rejected or gets his heart broken twice. You know, this is a season where you don't need these type of humbling moments going into, you know, 2 weeks left in the season. Now, maybe during the 3-5 run when they weren't playing very well. But I just think this part of the season, it happens. But I just cautiously guarded against things like this happen. And you know, I think, and you brought up the offensive line. I understand that they missed a lot of the integral part of their offensive line. You know, Zach Martin, I don't know what his status is. It seems to me it's the first football game he's missed, I heard, in,
ever
since he was in Pop Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, so going back to flag football, which is crazy. So you're going to have those things happen and have to fight the adversity. The thing that really kind of surprised me, and I know that it's hard to play with that much energy, is to be able to continue that. Mm-hmm. And what's on the line, it's a lot easier to be motivated, what's ahead of you, winning the NFC East on the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit to just not giving the Colts enough credit.
Sure.
But as we talked about it last week, I mean, the Colts are a hot football team. You ask everyone now after watching them play the Cowboys, you know, Andrew Luck is a tremendous quarterback. Their defense ball. And as I mentioned, Marlon Mack had 139 yards rushing on 27 carries. We have not seen that. Mm-hmm. It looked like this defense is normal, and they have not played that way all year long.
I feel like, I think it's fair to say the Cowboys did overestimate the Colts, or underestimate the Colts, I should say.
But, you know, how do you do that, though? How do you underestimate or any, you know, it comes down to this, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
No, no.
It just, when people talk about, oh, you know, like Zeke made a comment like, well, maybe we need this. Well, no, you don't need this right now. Either you're going to finish the season or finish the race. And look, I mean, the Colts, and you watch them on film, and I know they watch a ton of film on the Colts. There was a reason why they gave up 16 sacks. A lot of people thought, well, you know, the ball gets out real quick. Andrew Luck doesn't take a sack. But what they were able to do off, you know, to this defense was very impressive. So to underestimate a team like the Colts, which had a lot to play for. I mean, they're right there in the hunt as far as 8-6 team now.
Right.
And so they have an opportunity to maybe make the playoffs. So yes, I understand that. But again, this is an opportunity to clinch the East. And again, there's got to be a sense of urgency for that. You cannot prolong it and wait, okay, we're going to go back home and in Tampa Bay, and look, I understand that, but you have to be able to keep your play elevated.
Sure, I think that's very fair. I mean, I'm not at all saying they don't deserve criticism, and, you know, they got skunked. I mean, you know, it was an embarrassing effort. But I do think, and we have talked about this, and this is still true to me, and I think to you, that Jason Garrett is so good at when his team's back is against the wall, he is able to push back. I mean, he is able to look within himself, within the Cowboys, and really pull something out when, you know, when it's the 11th hour. You know what I mean? And we saw that over that 5-game win streak. I mean, if you had told us on the 750 when that streak started at Philadelphia, if you had said they have to lose one game over the next 6 games, which one do you want it to be? We would have said the Colts. I mean, that would have been the one loss you would have wanted. You know, their last 2 losses have been to AFC teams. Again, if you're going to lose in the NFL, that's who you want to lose to if you're the Cowboys, is it not? I mean,
yeah, well, it's crazy. The NFL is crazy. Look at all the teams. Look at all the offensive teams. We're so the high-powered offensive teams, and look how they've struggled the last month of December. Mm-hmm. And it's a prime example of things change and, you know, how each team can, like, turn around. That's essentially what the Cowboys did. But then the Colts, yeah, I mean, we looked at the schedule. whenever the Colts are like 1-5 or going through that really bad stretch of football, you know. And we thought, well, yeah, but guess what? There's another half of the season left.
Right.
And, you know, for the Cowboys, and you mentioned a lot of times on the 750 is that you're a big fan, and I'm a big proponent of what Jason Garrett can do when his back's against the wall. But guess what? When you got something out in front of you,
sure,
it's even harder. It's even more to you to just kind of just grind your players and like, look, we're on the road. We got a lot. We got a lot to gain by winning a game. And you got to give the Colts credit. They played a really terrific football game. But the Cowboys started reverting back to some of the things. Their defense, you know, by far the poorest performance they'd had all year long. Gave up 100 yards of rushing. Haven't done that all year long. And again, they had the same issues on the offensive side. Amari Cooper, they bracketed him. They did exactly what a lot of teams are doing. And they took him out of the game plan. And Zeke, I think Zeke was really, really tired. He looked very fatigued in this game.
He did. I mean, I think that's also worth mentioning. They were coming off of a game against the Eagles where they played almost a whole extra quarter. They played in overtime, obviously. Zeke had 40 total touches. And there is an element to the exhaustion that the emotions took on them. Again, that
five, yeah, he needs some rest.
He does. That five-game win streak, I mean, within that streak, you had three games within the division, two of them against the Eagles, who are not only the Eagles, but they're the reigning world champs.
That whole Thanksgiving, games in a 12-game period, yes, it's taking its toll.
I mean, you had Thanksgiving against the Redskins. You had Thursday Night Football against the Saints, which, to their credit, they got up for. And the fifth game was against the Falcons on the road in the place where your season died last year. I mean, so I think that, and again, that's why a lot of this is subjective and kind of the narrative side of football. But I do enjoy sort of examining that. I think that they were just so mentally dialed in over this stretch. And you said it at the top. I mean, at some point, that breaks. At some point, you just get too exhausted. And I do think that the Colts are a good team. I know that we said that the Cowboys underestimated them, but they're not a menacing team. You know, you're right that, you know, the difference, I think, between good teams and championship teams is that you're still able to get up for the non-menacing teams, but they don't present the same threat that the Eagles or Falcons or Redskins or Saints did. Those felt like, you know, it's kill or be killed. The Colts were just like a pillow fight, you know what I mean? And that's how they treated it. That's why they got waxed.
Well, that was a heavy pillow because in every aspect of the game, they dominated. And I mean, the penalties, there's a lot of things. And I agree with you, RJ. I mean, I know as a player, it's very exhausting. It's hard to keep that level of energy up all year long. And if you're running back and you're getting so many touches, and that's a physical football game. I mean, the Colts are laying some wood to them on the Cowboys' offense. I mean, they were laying some wood, and you could see that, and you could sense that. And they just looked like they were they're faster. And I think the Cowboys, it's a little self, you know, infliction and inflicted a lot of the a lot of the mistakes and self-inflicting. I mean, they had an opportunity to score on the goal line. I don't know. That may have been momentum boost on their part when they missed a would-be touchdown and short arm. And they get stuffed on fourth and one. So all of a sudden, you're at home and you're playing and on their road in the building. You're giving them all the energy, and you just kind of saw them just deflate.
I think that
was the element of the game is that the Colts were able to start really fast and the Cowboys were behind them all game long.
Well, and I think that, you know, you look last week, we had the Kamu Gruyere Hill comments, and not that I think the Cowboys were already up for that game, but that just, you know, that just heightened them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were rabid dogs going into that game. And I think the Colts kind of had that. You know, I mean, everybody gets up for the Cowboys in general. The Cowboys were on this five-game win streak. At the time, it was the longest win game streak in the NFL. And it was only that because the Colts themselves had beaten the Texans the week prior. It was Matt Eberflus taking on the Cowboys. And we talked about that, obviously. And, I think there's something to that. I'm sure you would agree, you know, playing for your coach and his old squad. I mean, I just think there were more, you know, there was more rabidness to the Colts, and that we saw that. I mean, they played with that. There was Darius Leonard making his case for Defensive Rookie of the Year over Leighton Vander Esch. You know, we're gonna do the Wolf Howl and things like that.
But I saw that. That was a nice comeback on his part.
It was, and so I'm truly. I know this sounds absurd, but I'm truly not that worried about the Cowboys. in a week where we saw the Chiefs struggle, we saw the Patriots struggle, we saw the Rams struggle. I mean, we saw the Saints struggle on Monday Night Football. I know the Bears won, but they, you know, they, I don't say they eked it out, but I mean, nobody is playing at a level, except for perhaps the Los Angeles Chargers, that is just, I mean, untouchable right now. And
well, yeah, you're right. And to think that, I think you and I can agree that after watching the Colts and what they've done over the last eight games, they're a playoff team. I think a lot of people probably don't want to play the Colts right now because the way they're playing. And I think for the month of December, that's a lot of things start to happen. The energy, everything else, the injuries and everything else start to come to the forefront. And I think especially when you have the defense playing so fast and the offense starting to wear down, the other teams starting to figure them out and everything, that's where it starts to rear its ugly head, is maybe not being as efficient. So when I look at the whole realm of things, I'm not real concerned because I think the Cowboys will re-energize themselves, come back home. Again, they got to go out there and take care of business and really approach this game and the playoff mentality. Just go ahead, let's just finish it out. I mean, that's the thing about it. You want to try to finish it.
Yeah,
and you don't want this, let this perpetuate where all of a sudden you're just kind of like, well, we're not playing very well going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Hey, we may be physically tired, but we still want to execute, want to do those things, because the element and the elevation of play, well, you won't have any problem when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, it's a different type of energy once you get the postseason play.
I agree with that. I mean, you've certainly been there. I think there is something cool. I mean, I don't know any other word to use to the fact that they can clinch this at home. I think it's worth mentioning 2 years ago, the first, obviously Dak and Zeke's rookie year, when they won that division, mm-hmm. they won that on a Thursday night because the New York Giants lost. They didn't get to win that themselves. They didn't get to put on caps in the locker room afterwards. And I mean, you've been there in moments like that and sort of embrace your brothers and your teammates and celebrate. You know, they were all at home, you know, doing their own thing. So it would be cool if, you know, the Sunday 2 days before Christmas, they could beat up on the Bucks and afterwards put on their caps and their shirts and take photos in the locker room and selfies and whatever. That is cool. I mean, and I do think that you get jazzed up for that. And to do it in front of your home crowd is a different thing than doing it in Indianapolis, of all places.
Yeah, but what are the odds that the Redskins winning and Eagles destroying the Rams on the road? So the moral of the story is you got to take care of yourself. You can't rely on someone else doing the dirty work or controlling your fate. And I think once you start scoreboard watching, and maybe there's a little bit of that, maybe you're thinking, oh, we're going to get in the playoffs regardless. You know, the Eagles lose, the Redskins lose. All they need is one of those teams, you know, and we're in. We've already punched our ticket. And maybe that happens. I mean, it's happened teams I've been on before, but it seems to me is that you have to really, really, and considering the way the NFC East is now, it's not as deep as it was, but you still have teams that's doing crazy things and winning games. And I mean, Nick Foles doing what Nick Foles does in December. So you got to control, create your own destiny and fate. And that's winning one game.
I agree with that. And to borrow your analogy from earlier, because it was, you have three games to clinch. You know, that's a lot. I get that you should still do it, obviously, but I get getting complacent. I mean, everybody would get complacent. You said earlier, it's not the 18-year-old kid asking a girl out on a date. Well, what it's like, you know, like you're the 18-year-old kid and I found out the girl likes you. You know what I mean? I can't, hey, Tony, she's got a crush on you, man. And you're like, great, this is awesome. But you still have to go ask her out. You know what I mean? You still have to do it.
But it makes it a little easier, though, if you know she has a crush on you. Right. And then it really breaks your heart when you ask her out and she says, your buddy's lying to you.
I would never do that to my 750 compadre, but you know, so I, you know, obviously this game was a mess, but I do think the NFC East and the whole division and the whole conference merits discussion here. Mm-hmm. There is a very real scenario where week 17 does not matter for the Cowboys, because if they win on Sunday against the Buccaneers, they clinch, yeah, the NFC East is theirs. And if the Chicago Bears, who already clinched the NFC North, if they win in San Francisco, granted the 49ers did just beat the Seahawks, but I mean, whatever, I think we both think the Bears will win. If the Bears win that game, then that's it. The Cowboys are the four seed. They cannot advance. They cannot move back.
Yeah.
No bye. I mean, they're definitely not getting a bye at this point, but they cannot get the three seed. So we could see them just kind of rest their starters in the final week of the regular season on the road in New York. How worried are you if that happens? Let's be hypothetical. Let's say the Cowboys win on Sunday against the Bucks, and let's say the Bears win in San Francisco. That means your three seed in the NFC. Well, I don't know if your three seed would be the Bears, but your four seed is the Cowboys, no matter what.
And right.
Let's say the Cowboys decide to take the week in New York as a chance to get healthy. No Zach Martin. Let Zeke rest up, etc. Get ready for the wild card game. That would mean that entering the playoffs, you said it's a different energy, and I'm totally with you, but you would have really played two, you know, games in the final month going in. You would have that game against the Eagles, which was very big. You would have this stinker of a game in Indianapolis. You would have the game against the Bucks, which you won in this hypothetical, and you would have the bye you gave yourself in New York. So you're not really entering, you know, with a lot of stuff under your belt. You're entering with your last great performance 2 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks in the rearview mirror. I don't know why I said minder. Goodness.
Well, and I know exactly what you mean. You look in the mirror and you just want to make sure that you want to see everything in front of you. And that makes this game this weekend even more important, because you're not going to get the third seed. You're playing the fourth seed. So if you let Tampa Bay hang around, because I don't know what Tampa – I know Jameis Winston. I think there's a lot of drama going on there. They're trying to – make a case for the Colts to return. And so I don't know. They may play up. You don't know. You don't know. You know, you got to remember Tampa Bay, they beat New Orleans early on in the year. And so I don't know what type of fight they're going to have, but you can't really worry about that. You're at home. The problem is you lose at home, and you don't think the Giants are going to be sitting there waiting for them on the road. Giants, you never know about a game like that. Regardless, so you just don't want to even think about that scenario. So that's, I mean, you could have thought about this. It would have been a lot better position to be in these last 2 weeks. Basically, these team games would be meaningless,
sure,
if you look at it that way. But now you can't create any more drama. In the Tampa Bay game, you have to take care of the business at home. And, you know, the Redskins, the Eagles, whatever, it's like you got blinders on. You don't listen. You're not anything. You're just worried about the game that you're playing. That's the approach you got to have.
I think that's fair. And I do think it works out for the Cowboys that the Seahawks lost as well, because it does look like that could be their wild card opponent.
Yeah.
The Seahawks can't start resting guys, you know, too soon just yet. The wild card picture of the NFC is still a mess. I'm going to take a left turn for a second. You mentioned it. How worried are you that the Eagles could sneak in as a wild card with Nick Foles?
How can you underestimate Nick Foles?
I think of what he
did last year. I don't know.
I can't believe this sentence makes sense. I mean, it makes sense, but I can't believe that it does. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. Well, look at what he did last year. I think they were a much better team earlier in the season under Carson Wentz, but just what he did in the postseason play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember the two games he played, and they're like, oh, God, this guy's horrible. And then all of a sudden, he, you know, switch turns on. So the bottom line is, RJ, is that the whole focus this week is not even to worry about as much, you know, I'm going to beat it like a dead horse, is that you have to focus on what you can control. You can't worry about the Eagles. You just got to get in.
Sure.
Because once you get in, then okay, well, that's a good problem to have.
Right.
But you're not in yet, and you don't want this mathematically scenarios to expect people to get you in. Because once you start doing that, then there's some questions about maybe what type of team you have. And
right.
I'm not going to worry about the Eagles. Look, because the Eagles may win. They have a chance. Maybe win out. You know, you don't know. I mean, it's just like we speculated the Cowboys will beat the Colts. Well, no one ever thought the Eagles were going to go out to the Rams and play the way the Rams started off and
sure.
beat them there.
You know, what this feels like is the kid that still has to go ask the girl out that has a crush on him. He's already like, man, where am I going to take her? You know, what am I going to wear? It's like, dude, you still got to ask her out. You got to, that, like, that has to happen, you know, before.
Got to have that nervous energy. You still got to have that, you know, that, the novelty part of it. And you got to have the novelty part when the Cowboys are like, hey, we want to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Circling back to the game itself, you mentioned the Jahmyr Olawale drop in the end zone. That was unforgivable. The Blake Jarwin drop, I thought that play was beautiful. I mean, I thought Dak executed that play action just perfectly, and Blake Jarwin just dropped it. It just, that game felt like, I mean, it felt like nobody really showed up to Indianapolis. I mean, except for Zeke. I mean, you know, it just felt like they just went through the motions. You know what I mean?
And look, if he would have caught the ball, Awale, I would have said, hey, that was a brilliant call. But, I mean, why is he doing it in the game anyway? And I'm just – and look, he should have caught it. I mean, I don't know what it was. It looked like his hands were sewed to his chest. I mean, he just kind of had the alligator arms and kind of looked like me trying to become a skill player. And they said, look, dude, you're too big. You're an off – you're a defensive lineman. So but you look at – again, you look at the opportunities the Cowboys have. That right there, touchdown. The fourth and one on the goal line, they stuffed the play. Instant momentum for the Colts. And again, think about the Colts. On their first six possessions, they scored on five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like they were getting really good field position. But again, it's been the narrative, what we talked about. And again, I'm not going to overreact because I think the Cowboys are going to finish this deal on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they would finish, both you and I thought they'd finish it on last Sunday, but they didn't do it. But fast, you know, that's where this team is right now. But again, the whole, and I hate to start questioning Dak, but again, you got a mobile quarterback that can make plays, powerful guy, and where are you getting the pressure from? Up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, inside everywhere, all day long. I mean, they.
So, you know, it comes back to Scott Linehan. It's like, why don't you get this dude out of the pocket or get him some opportunities to really move the football? Fourth and one. Zone read, you know, do something where it's going to be a little bit more, I guess, creative, where you don't think, because especially where you're having the problem in the interior part of your offensive line,
mm-hmm.
because they were teeing off, you know, and when Zeke's back there, I'm sorry.
Right.
That's the key. That's the bullseye. It's like that dude back there, that's our target.
Do you think, and again, there's so much about this that's, you know, hard to know and hard to pinpoint, but do you think there's anything, you know, to go back for a second to almost 2 years ago when Tony Romo did the Patriots-Saints game in his first season, I think it was week two of the 2017 season. At the end of the game, with the game well out of hand by that point, New England blitzed on fourth down. Mm-hmm. And Jim Nantz was just kind of like, wow, that's really interesting. They would blitz on fourth down with this game already out of, you know, they've already won and whatever. And Romo says, well, you know why they're doing that? Belichick is doing that to muddy the stats so that later on in the season, when their opponent is preparing for New England and they're looking how often do they blitz on fourth down, et cetera, that statistic is inflated intentionally because he's doing it in meaningless games. And, you know, that was a really fascinating piece of information that I don't think anybody ever really thought of that way. You know, a lot of people learned from Romo that day. And so that I thought about that a lot on the flight home from Indianapolis. How much, because I agree with you, it's so illogical to do some of the things the Cowboys were doing in Indianapolis, or to not do things they weren't doing, rather. And, you know, like, for example, I mean, I liked it, to be fair, but they ran, you know, with Amari Cooper. He had a rush. I mean, so I wonder how much of this was like, look, we know we're a playoff team. We know we're going to beat the Bucks, or we're going to beat the Giants or whatever. But this game is kind of important. A lot of teams are going to be watching this game on film because the Colts are going to be a playoff team, et cetera, blah, blah. We don't want to show any cards. I mean, this is a little, I realize, conspiracy theorist, but what's your take? I mean, do you think that's at all possible? Or am I giving them too much credit?
And I just think that, you know, at that point, they were just trying to execute a play. And regardless of where it was going to come from, whether it's Amari Cooper, whether it was the fullback catching the ball that – never has touched a football or mm-hmm. caught a pass, you know, just trying to be a little bit more creative and take the pressure off somewhere, some other area where they're focusing. And, you know, the thing about it is in a game like that, it's all about trying to get a win. And well, however you're going to be able to generate points, that's what you're going to try to do. And again, you know, Amari Cooper, a lot of teams now, and they got a lot of film. It's been a long season, and they're going to look at like one guy, and like the first thing they're going to do is like, we got the personnel. And we're going to, okay, that guy, Amari Cooper, 19, we're not going to let him beat us down a bit. Right. And I know Matt Eberflus, that was his, for any defensive coordinator, we're going to match up and we're going to go back to the same notion. We're going to stop the run. We're going to force the Cowboys to have Zeke Elliott have 35 touches. And by the time he gets to that 25th touch, and we've been hammering all day, he's going to start feeling a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, their play calling gets a little frustrated because all these plays that they've been – so you saw that on the sideline during the game, RJ. I was watching on TV. Mari Cooper looked really, really frustrated. Mm-hmm. First time we've seen that this year. And because over the last six games prior to that, he was lighting it up. But, you know, this conspiracy, the theory that you're going at, I just think that you teams – now, Belichick, I wouldn't doubt that because sure, the guy is just nuts. I mean, does he even have another life? I mean, football is his life. But, I mean, you have to really just try to do as much as you can to create some positive thing, whether it's on offense or defense, to be able to make a big play.
It's, I mean, admittedly, a very ridiculous idea. But to be fair, like I said, I was thinking about it on the flight. I hadn't had a lot of sleep.
Maybe you should have watched a movie or something.
The oxygen is different up there. So, I mean, you know, but it was a fun little thought for a second.
They were over-serving you on the plane. Or maybe you just weren't thinking with a clear mind.
You know, all of a sudden that aisle seat felt like it was on a cloud, if you know what I mean. But
yes.
I mean, again, I know this is – maybe it's fool's gold, but I'm not worried about them. I know they just played this horrible game in Indianapolis, but I think what is way more important than the game they played in Indianapolis is that they earned the ability to play a horrible game. They earned that house money. They did. And the same team that lost that game is the same team that earned that house money. And so I think that, you know – unfortunately, to the point we've kind of been making, Jason Garrett's better when his back's against the wall. Maybe the guy's an adrenaline junkie. You know, maybe Garrett is, he's on the highway late at night, no one's around him. He just, you know, closes his eyes and floors it. You know what I mean? And maybe
I just can't. You just said that. I'm trying to picture Jason Garrett driving. I don't know what kind of car you think Jason drives.
Oh, Volvo, easy.
Right? Yeah, probably. Like, Range Rover or something like that. I can't see him in a really fast, like a Mercedes. Well, maybe Mercedes, but not the one that's got 600 horsepower in it.
No, and his
I see him more like a Tesla kind of guy.
Oh, he's definitely a Tesla, and his Tesla looks, I would imagine, exactly like it did when he drove it off the lot. Like there's no like clothes or papers or things in the back seat. Like it's just immaculate.
He's got an autopilot to 65, whatever the speed limit is.
Yeah, and he has no stations preset on the car. He just leaves it on the same radio station all the time, and you know, whatever. I think he's the type of person who, I remember a long time ago when I was a little kid, my parents got a new car and my mom wouldn't let us pick up food in it. Like we couldn't go to the drive-thru in the car because it would smell the car up. So that's Jason Garrett.
You know, boy, she'd hate my car. God, I'm like the biggest slob. I wish I could blame it on my kids, but dude, I it doesn't matter what type of car I have. It's just, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, my front seat, the floor, is like a trash can. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's there for.
I could tell you some stories about my father's car. And I think there was something actually living in the back seat at one time.
He was in the carpool lane. That's why. So you could use that lane. But anyway, I mean, so he does seem like somebody who enjoys flying close to the sun. Like, okay, guys, now we got, you know, because you could see that. You could see him in meetings this week. Okay, guys, the Redskins got to win. The Eagles beat the Rams. Everyone's talking about Nick Foles, et cetera.
But you know what, RJ? You shouldn't have to do that.
I agree.
I mean, your coach, yeah, you know, I understand, you know, that's the task of the coaches to, you know, to keep guys focused. But again, that's the only thing that I'm going to take negative because I agree with you. I think that they'll get re-energized. They're coming back home. Mm-hmm. Let's take a deep breath. I mean, everyone expect us to win. We got to lose eventually. Right. We're going to lose. Let's lose now, not lose in the first playoff game, right?
Yeah, and if
you're looking at it that way.
Yeah, and if you're going to lose in style. I mean, if you're going to go down
don't
in
get
flames,
shut out, though.
That's fair. I mean, you know, but I mean
– they don't throw that interception at the end of the game. Dak and
that's not
you know,
on Dak. That's a tip ball. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, first of all, why was Dak and Zeke in the game at that point of the game?
I completely agree with you. I mean, that's a really questionable thing. But
maybe so they couldn't get shut out. Hopefully,
maybe,
or maybe send the message that look, we're not throwing up the white flag.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's again.
To me, I think maybe it's a little bit of both. You know,
yeah, we're trying to get in the mind of
a shutout, and we're going to send the message we're not quitting yet.
Well, I mean, again, we're trying to get inside the mind of the Tesla driving Jason Garrett, which is an impossible.
But Zeke, especially. I mean, that dude did. Here's the thing about when I watched that game, and maybe I'm overreacting. And you correct me if I'm wrong. You can agree to disagree or whatever. But doesn't it look like Zeke? You know, when we used to see him get 10, I mean, we know he's great at, you know, yards after contact, but it seems to me he doesn't have that next accelerator to, like, hit the home run, like the 30 yards, taking a 5 yard, getting open space, and bam, taking it to the end zone.
I remember early on in his career, I remember thinking that a lot, and I remember he had the big touchdown against the Cincinnati Bengals in his rookie year, and that was kind of, okay, he's got that gear. And then I think everybody listening will certainly remember the game winner in Pittsburgh later on that season, his rookie year. That was kind of a home run hit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he had the home run, so to speak, also against the Lions later that season. So I mean, he's definitely, and I think, you know, when you think of his big plays like that, you think more of the screen passes, those ones that he gets out in space and Zach Martin's out in front of him, and those are beautiful plays. I think he certainly has it, but he's not. I mean, like Le'Veon Bell's got a different sort of speed than Zeke, for example.
Well, I know Zeke. I mean, he's very, I would say, you know, you can't, when you look at him, he's elusive, but it's very deceiving. That's the word I'm looking for,
yeah,
because I think
word.
He does. I think he does have that.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe I'm looking into the fatigue aspect of it because I'm looking at him. He's coming off the sideline. He just looks like a dude that's, man, I'm tired. It's the 12th round, man, and they're like hitting me with body punches, and I need to make it through the 10 count.
And that's the frustrating thing, I think, with the offense is they, I mean, I do believe, and we've talked about this before, I mean, you need to exhaust Zeke. You got to use that dude. I mean, if he's getting 40 touches, that's a good thing generally, but it's also something that you have to manage. And if you are
exactly.
just, if you
that's
are
a good
wearing,
point. You got to manage him.
If you're wearing him down, there are times he came off the field on third down because at the end of the day, I don't fault Zeke for that. The guy's human. I actually applaud Zeke for it to say, look, man, I'm tired. And the way I'm feeling in this moment, I'm actually a detriment to be out there because if I'm out there tired, I can't make that play. I can't shake that last defender. So I applaud Zeke for having his own sort of internal management on that. But that's on the Cowboys. They cannot just, you know, overuse and overexert him early on. There is not a pitch count, but a management that has to take place. And to your point,
I think there is a pinch count. I mean, there's got to be. And maybe that's why I don't know if it's just him like tapping out like, hey, or is it just, hey, is it? I don't know if they have a pitch count on him because – to me, this looks like whenever Zeke's tired, he's coming off the field.
Right.
I mean, you have to keep him on the field. I understand that. But you don't want it to, you do not want to try to change the dynamic. And
right.
you don't want to, you really want to just make sure you protect him and make sure he doesn't get overused. And again, just kind of look at the big picture. You know, down, you know, overuse him and you know, look more on down the road. And when I say that, I mean postseason play.
I mean, consider Zeke's utilization just recently. Okay, let's talk about since the win streak started at Philadelphia. So 6 games. These are his carries in those 6 games: 19, 23, 26, 23, 28, and he only had 18 in Indianapolis. So that did feel like a lot, but it was you know, the fewest, say, for the first. And we're talking about receptions because they've, to their credit, utilized him more in the passing game. At Philly, he had 6 receptions. At Atlanta, 7. Against the Redskins, 5. Against the Saints, 6. He shot up to 12. That was the big performance, the 40 touches against the Eagles, and he had 7 catches. I mean, think about him for a second in just the passing game, okay, because – on his career, in his first 2 seasons, which was 25 games, the guy had 58 receptions, okay? He has 72 this season through 14 games. That's
got that's absurd. I mean, that, again, but, you know, you can't – I mean, you're going to have to – that's the horse you're going to ride. That's the guy that you need to be able to touch the football.
He's already he had 354 total touches his rookie season, and that was because he didn't play in the final game because the Cowboys had already clinched and they iced right. him for the final game. He only had 268 last year, but again he had the suspension.
He missed and everything. The suspension. Yeah.
This year, again through 14 games, he's already sitting. So Zeke had 354 total touches through 15 games in 2016. Through 14 games this season, one less, he has 358 total touches. I mean, he is leading the NFL in rushing attempts, mm-hmm. in rushing yards, in yards per game, which are great. But he's also leading the NFL in total touches and in yards from scrimmage. He's got 1,892 yards from scrimmage. He's going to break 2,000 this year, which I think is kind of an under-the-radar storyline.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, when that's a phenomenal what he's going to do, you know, line of scrimmage and – you know, total yards is just extraordinary. But, you know, for me, in watching that game, it was two times he got hit. When he hurdled the guy and then he just got hammered. And I think it was another pass play, an open field. I mean, he just body language doesn't lie.
Right.
And I just felt like at that point, you know, this is a guy that, again, and maybe I'm overanalyzing it because maybe I'm the expectation and maybe he just looks – is deceiving – because some people don't think he has the big speed, but I know he's got a second gear. But we're just not – maybe not seeing it. And you mentioned it, the screen plays out on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a little – there's more space, and he can, you know, take it down the sideline and hit from there. But, again, it's just you see the a little fatigue kind of sinking in a little bit, and rightly so. I mean, the guy has carried the big load for this offensive team.
I think – you know, that is the story of who they've been. And that's, you know, you think about all that work. That's with Amari Cooper going off. You know what I mean? Just kind of says a weird thing about the offense. But I think he needs that Week 17 game off, you know, to rest before the playoffs. So that's why the win this week against Tampa Bay is all the more critical. They got to win. I mean, you know, home crowd, last home game of the season. You know, end it with a bang, win the division, let everybody celebrate, et cetera, buy their hats and t-shirts at the pro shop on their way out. I mean, that would be a very Merry Christmas, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's the best Christmas present they can give themselves and all the fan, you know, the Cowboy Nation is to be able to go ahead and punch their ticket and the clinch it at home. There's not a better place to do that. So maybe it's. Maybe it's good that they didn't win on the road, so everyone can celebrate them hopefully clinching the East in AT&T Stadium.
They did it on purpose, Tony. That was why. Obviously.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So very very calculated by Mr. Clapper.
We'll be
Mr.
back.
Tesla.
Mr. Tesla, that's right. We'll be back.
Hashtag Mr. Tesla.
We will be back later this week to get ready for the Buccaneers. Tony, enjoy your week until then. Enjoy your Christmas shopping. I know you've already got a lot done, but make sure you sew it all up because it's going to be a busy week with the Cowboys winning the division and everything.
Yeah, I've definitely got a couple things, a little last-minute shopping, but
hey,
I'm not going to tell my wife.
We won't tell anybody. Enjoy your week, everybody. Again, we'll be back on Thursday to get ready for Tampa Bay. This was the 750.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.